The Indianapolis Colts are benching Anthony Richardson and will start Joe Flacco at quarterback Sunday night against the Vikings. Well, Giants head coach Brian Daboll says that they are sticking with Daniel Jones as their starting quarterback in Week 9 against the Commanders. A trade in the NFL as the Ravens acquired wide receiver Diontae Johnson in a swap with the Carolina Panthers.
Fox Sports update on KPRL brought to you by Deeds Bar and Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, and new daily specials, and check out the great new golf shop. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
From the Ag Information Network, this is your Agribusiness Update. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack announced additional assistance to help producers impacted by Hurricane Helene in their recovery process. USDA announced counties that have triggered payment under the Hurricane Insurance Protection Wind Index endorsement for Hurricane Helene. Approved insurance providers have 30 days to issue payments to producers, but typically issue payments much sooner. Vilsack says USDA will support farmers through the recovery process for the long haul. USDA has announced nearly $173 million to connect rural residents, farmers, and business owners to high-speed internet. Undersecretary Dr. Basil Gooden says keeping rural Americans connected with reliable high-speed internet brings them new and innovative ideas and good-paying jobs. USDA has invested more than $4 billion in 345 ReConnect projects to bring high-speed, reliable internet access to more than 600,000 rural Americans. American Farmland Trust has disbursed over $700,000 to 139 farmers across the United States through this year's Brighter Future Fund. Over 50% of those awarded went to beginning farmers, 30% under 34 years of age, and over 60% women. Grants were awarded to help farmers invest in professional services, vital equipment, and infrastructure, with a special emphasis on improving farm viability, accessing farmland, and regenerative ag practices.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture has reneged on its promise to let America's cattle ranchers choose the type of animal identification device that best fits their operations. Ranchers can now use low-cost ear tags, or they can use the high-cost electronic identification, or EID, ear tags, giving ranchers the choices of fundamental value we all understand. But the USDA wants a one-size-fits-all system, and beginning November 5th, ranchers will be forced to use high-cost EID ear tags when shipping adult cattle across state lines. This freedom and liberty stripping mandate must be stopped. Congresswoman Harriet Hagman and U.S. Senator Cynthia Lummis, both from Wyoming, have introduced resolutions to overturn this mandate, and they need your help. Please call your members of Congress and urge them to support the resolutions of disapproval that will overturn the USDA's EID mandate. You can reach your members of Congress by calling 202-224-3121 and ask for them by name. This message is brought to you by RCAF USA.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with today's Agribusiness Update.
Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
This Fox Business News Update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Charles Payne, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Stocks are searching for direction and are mixed as investors reviewed a host of corporate earnings results and await Google parent Alphabet's earnings report after the closing bell. Tech stocks are among the gainers today, lifting the tech-heavy NASDAQ, which has hit a new intraday record. And shares of Ford are sinking 9%. The automaker reported third-quarter profit that matched analysts' expectations, but said it expected full-year operating profit at the bottom of guidance provided in the summer. Its EV losses continue to mount in its third quarter, with Ford expecting $5 billion in losses this year. And shares of Pfizer are falling 2%. The pharmaceutical giant reported quarterly earnings and sales that topped expectations and raised its annual outlook, but investors seem to be unfazed by the company's long-term prospects for its COVID-19 products. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
With Cybersecurity Awareness Month winding down, LifeLock wants to remind you to update your software. These updates are used to patch up security issues that identity thieves can exploit to gain access to your personal info. But for comprehensive identity theft protection, there's LifeLock. LifeLock alerts you to more uses of your personal info and fixes identity theft issues that arise. Start your 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use my name as your promo code, Clay.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
Should the United States recognize Red China? If so, what's in it for us? And what's in it for the Chinese? I'll be right back.
Reagan, in his own voice, is brought to you by Mills Construction. For architectural, metal, roofing, and siding, call Aaron at 610-1256.
Too often in our pursuit of detente, we act as if a concession on our side is automatically helpful to the process as a whole. But if you think about it, nothing could make detente less meaningful, either to the United States or to the populations of the communist nations, than an unending series of one-sided American concessions. If our adversaries can get what they want, formal recognition, liberalized trade, technical help, what have you, without making any modifications in their foreign or domestic policies, then the basis for true friendship is erased. It's only by a change in the nature of communism, a movement away from the policies of aggression abroad and repression at home, that communism and the West will be able to live together in harmony. If the communists get the prestige and material aid they want without having to change any of their own policies, the seeds of future conflict will be continually nourished, ready to sprout anew with little or no warning. It seems to me that before making new concessions, our policymakers need to nail down, not just on paper, but in their own minds, exactly what it is we're getting in return. This applies in particular to the recognition of Red China, a move which would involve the downgrading of our relations with the Republic of China on Taiwan, which is a major trading partner and one of the most stable, prosperous Asian countries. Despite its severe political setbacks of the past 2 years in the United Nations and elsewhere, the Republic of China has emerged from a difficult period in robust economic health and with renewed political vigor. In the Far East, the concept of face is important. Recognition of the communist regime in Peking and downgrading of relations with Taipei is therefore a matter of great importance to the nations involved, and thus to us. We should not make such a move in the absence of concrete concessions from Peking. In the long run, no concession is more important than a relaxation of China's brutal policy toward its own people. With the victory of Premier Chou Enlai and his so-called moderate allies in the recent Communist Party conference, promises have been made to the Chinese people along these lines. Under a newly adopted constitution, the people, for the first time since the revolution, have been given the right to work for themselves and for their families' benefit. Industrial workers can moonlight. Peasants can cultivate private plots. In the political realm, there's to be less emphasis on strict conformity to the party line and more freedom to speak out. These moves come on the heels of warnings by the Chou faction that a continuation of the cruel repression favored by party chairman Mao Zedong could lead to overthrow of the government. Thus, the present relaxation may be more a matter of political survival than increased benevolence. Whatever the motives, we should welcome these steps and wait a considerable time to see whether they're implemented. This is especially important when we consider the advanced age and, in some cases, illness of China's current leadership and the chronic instability of China's politics in recent years. And we should be exacting a much tougher price in China's external policies. It's easy to talk of friendship with the United States when at the same time you're free to threaten war with Taiwan and to fund terrorist liberation movements in South Vietnam, Cambodia, and elsewhere. Before we even think about recognition of the Peking government, we should make sure their deeds match their words. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan, in his own voice, brought to you by Mills Construction, specializing in pre-engineered metal buildings. Call Aaron at 610-1256.
Protecting what matters on the right choice, AM 1230 KPRL 99.3 FM with Barry Fisher. Advice and information on protecting what matters most in today's world. brought to you by Adler Belmont Insurance Brokers and their new associate, Heather Bordan, serving the commercial insurance needs of businesses on the Central Coast.
Good afternoon and welcome to Sound Off. And there we go. My my earphones weren't quite going there for a minute. Barry's out today. My name's Eric Gorham. I'll be filling in. I think he's enjoying a little R&R and getting a few things done around his place. Today we have we're going to start out with Randall Jordan from the Central Committee here in San Luis Obispo County, RPSLOC. And if you want to go to the website, it's rpsloc.org. But really, we're going to start talking about the election. It's almost here. We got a few more days going into next week. Well, I guess we have a week, huh? It's Tuesday.
Exactly.
I keep thinking it's this week's been going really slow for me, so I'm thinking it's Thursday or something, but it's only Tuesday. But yeah, I think I've been in and out of the headquarters a little bit. I don't know if you've been down there, but it's bustling down there for the last few weeks. It's a lot of excitement, a lot of people making phone calls, people bringing ballots in. What are you seeing?
Oh yeah, I'm seeing the same thing. It's pretty exciting this time of year. Both headquarters, we have a South County headquarters on Grand Avenue and then our main headquarters up here on El Camino Real. And I would say that we're averaging about 200 at each headquarters, 200 ballots coming in a day. So, yeah, that's people are relying on the Republican headquarters to safely take their ballots into the recorder's office instead of mailing it. So that's a good thing.
Oh, it is. And I think that what we've seen this year, too, is a lot earlier. Usually, you know, I like to hang out down there this time of year because it is probably the funnest. During election, it's the best, and a presidential election at that, things get really busy. And I think they got busier earlier than they ever have this year. I think, I'm not sure. I think with what I saw, I could be wrong. You tell me. I saw with the first assassination attempt, people were like, okay, I hid before, I acted like I wasn't a Trump supporter. And now they're like, I've had enough, and I'm going to do whatever I can do to get this man elected again. I think it's a different era than it was 2016 or 2020. I don't know your thoughts.
No, I agree with you. I think that people finally got fed up and said, you know, we've got to make a stand and we've got to do something. So you're right. Fervor has been going on since August.
Right.
Yeah. It's been pretty busy at the headquarters. Both of them. And I mean, we're our little headquarters in South County, which is bustling. I mean, we have about 150, a pool of about 150 volunteers here in North County. Down in South County, we have about 75. So they're as busy as we are up here, and they are so welcome down there. You wouldn't really think it in Arroyo Grande, but people honk, people wave. They love the Republican Party down there.
Oh yeah, and they kind of stand out right there. What is that, Grand or is it? Yeah, Grand. So they're right off of Grand, and they're easy to see. And they got the big tent up, and it kind of beckons people in. And I think they've been year after year getting more and more people. Just kind of that kind of safe bastion to go talk to the volunteers down there to donate. I mean, volunteer their time. You can always donate too.
Always donate.
We always need that. And with the movie nights they're doing down there, we kind of had movie nights while we still do. And but yeah, they started one at a movie theater, I believe, at the.
Yeah, that's really funny how that came to be. Actually, we had a movie night here in North County. Oh gosh, about 6-9 months ago, and a gentleman approached me at the movie night and said, why aren't you doing this in your South County headquarters? And I said, well, it's really too small to be able to bring a lot of people in. We get upwards, our last movie night, which was last Thursday, we had almost 100 people came to the movie night. And so he said, well, how about if I work something out down there? And I said, we would love it. So he started working on it, and he got a small movie theater there on Grand Avenue to agree, and we've had movie night at an actual theater. I think it's Oaks Theater or something it's called.
Is it Fair Oaks?
Fair Oaks Theater. Yeah, Fair Oaks Theater. And I was down there for the Reagan. We had the Reagan movie. We actually premiered it there, and we've had good turnout.
Yeah, that was a pretty awesome little, yeah, I wish I could have made it down that night.
That was fun. That was fun.
Yeah, to see, that would have been nice. And real quick, just while we're at it, the phone lines are open. We are talking all things election today. So, yeah, give us a call, you know, 238-KPRL, 238-5775, if you have anything to add. Or a story to tell. I mean, this is a fun time of year, especially if you're volunteering. Like I said, I just can't get over the amount of people since the ballots dropped. I mean, it's built up. It's more in the last couple weeks. But from day one, I think I walked into and there was 30 ballots sitting there in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's just people, I don't think, from what I've seen, you know, a little bit of time I've been hanging out there the last few years, I haven't seen that many people come in during elections. Week of, usually, it gets crazy. So I'm wondering what this week, you know, this week and the beginning of next is going to be like.
Yeah, it is going to be nuts. It is. It really is. And just announce it early. We are going to have a watch party next Tuesday.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So we're going to be working probably from noon until about 6 or 7, basically getting out the vote. We're going to have people there working, making phone calls, doing different things to get out the vote, to make sure that we get our precincts completely filled with the walk-in voters that are going to vote. And then about probably 6 or 7 o'clock, we'll switch over and have a watch party.
Okay. So. And is the Republican Party in both offices or neither? Are they going to take ballots on Election Day? And if so, is there a time, a cutoff?
As far as I know, Cheryl in North County and Andrea Seastrand in South County, I think they're going to be taking up maybe till about 3 o'clock.
3 o'clock. Yeah. Make sure they can get them in. I guess that's always the worry.
Yeah.
And then after that, I guess we'd recommend you either go to your polling place, preferably, or take them right to the county clerk.
Exactly. And luckily, we do have the North County County Clerk's office open.
Right.
So that's a good thing that they did open that. So either South County or North County, you've got a place to go.
Right. And in North County, if you don't know where that is Tascadero Library. It's right upstairs. And I think they're open. Well, I don't want to speak for them.
I don't know.
But I've gone in there pretty late. I think last election, I was the last go around at the headquarters where I took the ballots in. It was dark. I know that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it does get dark a little earlier these days. So, but one thing I've really noticed, the people coming in, you know, dropping off ballots or picking up signs, and I've seen a lot of signs go out this year.
Oh my gosh.
And
we've gone through, I just ordered another round of signs. I've got 100 coming from Yuba City. The chair up there, I had 12,000 made, and she's basically been selling them all over the state. So Johanna is sending down 100, and then I just ordered another 100 to 150 from Sloco Data down in Arroyo Grande. And we have gone through, gosh, I would say maybe 700 to 800 signs in this season.
On the Trump signs or on, yeah.
On the Trump signs. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah. And yeah. I know, because I know the other ones are flying out too. I think every time I go in there, I'm calling a candidate, hey, Seth, or hey, Mark, whoever, can you bring us some more signs?
And yes.
They're like, I was just in there yesterday. And I'm like, well, you didn't drop off enough. So.
Yeah, yeah. Even our candidates, and those signs are free. Unfortunately, we have to take a donation for the Trump signs because we do have to have those made. But the candidate signs are free, and we've got them for Tascadero School, Paso Robles School District and City Council in both Paso and in Atascadero, and Lucy Amar. We've got Lucy Amar, and then we've also got San Luis Obispo, a joint union.
Right, yeah, I think that's Eve. She's the only Republican. Is there another Republican running? I can't remember.
We have another Republican running for PISMO.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. 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 And then they have the, what do they call? I always call them the three dads down there.
The dads. Yeah. At Lucy Amar. Yeah.
And they've been fun to watch. I've listened to them. I've kind of, you know, I haven't paid real close attention because I'm more North County, but I've kind of, since they began coming in for endorsements and then listening to them on the radio, they're kind of evolving. And, you know, these are just three guys that decided they wanted to, contribute to their, you know, give back, yeah. And they have kids in the school district, hence I call them the three dads. But
yeah,
these are just grassroots guys that came, you know, they you know, kind of showed up and said, I want to do this. I feel strongly about what's going on. It's been interesting watching them kind of unfold what they've come into now.
Yeah, they're basically running as a pack, as a slate.
Let's grab a call real quick. Good afternoon, and thank you for calling Sound Off.
Hello. Hi there. You're still taking information about things on the election?
Yeah. If you have information or anything you want to tell us.
I just was wondering what's going to happen on the day after if Trump gets elected, where the left wing is going to go crazy or not.
Well, I don't know. You know, I kind of go back to what, 16, just I kind of cherish those tantrums that were being thrown because they were just kind of funny to watch. But yeah, you kind of wonder, you know, you hear a lot about Trump. Oh, if he gets elected or if he doesn't, is he going to steal it? But I think it's kind of what to do about nothing when it comes to that. I think it's more the other way around. And usually the people that are pointing the fingers maybe have something up to their sleeve. And I don't, what do you think, Randall?
No, I agree with you. I think we have to worry more about the left side than we do our side. Donald Trump is going to be a perfect gentleman, and you know, he may squawk and he may do what he did in 2020 and basically ask for some proof or ask for some things to be looked at. Hopefully this time they won't try and arrest him for manipulating an election
right.
By just asking. But yeah, the other side, I really don't know what they have up their sleeve, and right. that's a good way to put it.
What do you think,
sir? I just think that if Trump is elected and the matter hits the fan, he may not be too comfortable or too easy on these people this time because they got off with nothing last time. They just were told, no, do it again. And that's got to be something he's got to deal with.
I think it's going to be interesting. And honestly, I don't see this is his to win. You know, maybe a month ago, I think maybe it was a little closer, but I think at this point, especially, I like watching the betting odds. And the betting odds are phenomenally for Trump, and this is people's money. These are bookies' money. They don't want to lose their money. So I kind of put more. I haven't put much into the polls in probably 12 years. Because you look at them, they don't come. And but when I look at the betting, yeah. The betting lines are interesting because bookies, the house needs to win. You know, that's how they stay in business.
Absolutely.
And you're seeing a 14% lead a lot of times right now. I haven't checked him this week. Last week he was up 14 points, you know, in the betting lines. And
in the betting odds?
Yeah. And
I think a lot of people in the polling data are afraid to say who they're voting for so they don't say Trump because they just want to keep it to themselves. Who knows? I mean, if you look at the rallies and the attendance on one side versus the other, although that wasn't much different than last time, if you can pack 25,000-30,000 people in Madison Square Garden in the heart of New York, supposedly his weakest state, and have 75,000 people outside demonstrating in his favor, that just shows a lot of support in enemy territory.
No, it does, and I'm really interested to see how these swing states go. I think he's going to take more, and I don't think the margins are going to be as small as they last year. Not last year, but when they ran against Biden, the margins were pretty close on these swing states. Trump ended up coming short. I don't think it's going to work out this way. I think there's going to be a statement made.
A statement made by the voters?
Yeah, pro-Trump. I think they're going to come in. I think really, Randall and I were talking earlier, you know, I think a lot of people after the first assassination attempt said, no, this is my guy. I kept quiet in the past. I'm not going to do it. Nobody's going to bully me anymore. This is my guy. I want him to win. And people have come out and just pushed and pushed and pushed. And what that happens, if they can convince three people and those people convince, I mean, I think there's a snowball effect going on right now. And
I think you're right.
I'm really thinking good things are going to happen.
But I'm just wondering how many votes the Democrats can manufacture to outnumber what he's going to get.
Well, you know, I'm hoping, this would be my hope, you know, maybe call me crazy, but I'm hoping that Trump can get 100 million. You know.
If he does, yeah.
And that's unsurmountable, in my opinion. I don't think, if he can get up in those numbers, he can get 90 to 100 million. It's not, there's no way to take that from him, in my opinion.
And if it does look like this, how are they going to manufacture 110 million to beat him and not be more people than are registered?
Right.
Well, they've done that before. So
right. No,
we know they'll do that if they need to.
But, you know, I think it would be groundbreaking if he could. I mean, that would be my dream if he could hit 100 million. It would be
interesting. He did 80 million last time, and that wasn't enough. I'd be curious to see what does happen. It's going to be an interesting night Tuesday for how long it ever takes to get the results in.
Right. No, yeah. Who? Hopefully the certification goes fairly quickly. Hopefully they're not like Slow County where it takes up to a month to certify and count. No, I think it'll be good. I think those swing states are going to be on it for the most part. I heard one or two may lag behind. But yeah, the hope is we have election results at least that week. You know, I mean, I hate to see all this where we're waiting a week. You know, it used to be you found out that night and maybe the next morning. I mean, the one thing was the hanging Chad deal that kind of took a little while. But that was a little more understandable to me than we just can't count the votes fast enough now. We used to count them in a night. Now we get early voting, and we can't count them the same week half the time.
When did they go to the fact that they can have all these mail-in votes for a month prior to the election? I mean, that reeks of difficulty for honesty.
Well, I think in our county, we started counting, I think it's 10 days before the election, they start counting. And, you know, there's a lot of there's people in there watching the count. You know, if you are if you're on the ballot, you usually have your people in there watching the certification, you know, not the certification, but they certify the, signatures, et cetera. I don't know how they can't get them counted. It's just beyond me. They say how great these Dominion machines and all the different machines are, but now it's slower than it's ever been. And, you know, basically the old machines were equivalent to like maybe a Scantron and it could kick it out in one night. You know, now these sophisticated machines, it take weeks or, you know, we've had, if you go back to like the Jones campaign, almost took a month, month to get the results.
I think we're going to know election night. I really do. I think the swing states are going to go Trump early. And I think we're going to know like in 16, about 11 o'clock at night, we're going to all be hooping and hollering.
Right.
I think you're right. I think if he carries Pennsylvania, North Carolina, and Georgia, it'll be like a harbinger of doom for Ms. Harris.
Yes.
I think so, and I think he can. I think he's kind of done what he needed to, and I don't see a lot from Harris, you know, pushing. What I'm interested in, I haven't got to see. I wish I could go over there just to see the commercials and the mailers because I want to know how they're both running in these swing states. You know, we don't see a lot here because, you know, Trump and Harris don't spend too much attention on California, let alone, you know, the Central Coast.
No, it's a lost cause.
But I would love to see the campaigns, what's on the TV, what's on the radio, et cetera, what Trump is saying, what she's saying. I think Trump has so much ammunition in those states against her. If you just use her track record, in my opinion, it speaks volumes.
You know, if you ask her a question, her response is, I'm not good, but he's worse.
Right. You know? Well, I don't think what I noticed when Biden won the primary is that I really truly felt like America was saying, if you look who he ran against, the country was saying, we're not ready for a progressive. That's what they said, because he ran against all progressives in the primary. He won overwhelmingly. He wasn't a great candidate. He was this old man that couldn't really, I mean, I don't know. I don't want to, I think we all know the story about Biden and kind of how he is, but I think it is interesting that I don't think, you know, if he can really push and say Harris is this socialist / you know, she grew up a Marxist. If you listen to some of the things she says, right, they're Marxist ideology. Right. But it was good talking to you. We have to go to a quick break.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you. And we will be right back with more with Randall Jordan from the RPS LLC.
The The customer service and workmanship at Davis Body Shop is first rate.
Jessica, who is a North County resident, talks about her experience at Davis Body Shop.
Lori, Eric, and Patrick were super helpful. Patrick did a great job ensuring that everything my car needed was done in an incredibly fast time. My car looks amazing inside and out. For body work and customer care, Davis is the best, and we would never take our cars anywhere else.
Davis Body Shop has repaired well over 80,000 vehicles since 1962, and today Davis is the longest established shop on the Central Coast. If you ever need the services of Davis Body Shop, remember, they are San Luis Obispo County's most honored, respected, and trusted auto collision specialist with two locations, on El Camino Real with a convenient enterprise car rental facility, and Davis Body Shop on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
As the markets have their ups and downs, real estate remains one of the most stable assets in everyone's portfolio. Hi, this is Cindy Mims, owner broker of Colony Mortgage, voted best mortgage company in North County 3 years running. We offer conventional FHA, VA, and reverse mortgages and 100% purchase loans for first-time home buyers. Are you a builder and tired of the red tape when dealing with banks and expensive hard money loans? I have a great new option. Or are you 62 years or older? You can possibly eliminate your monthly mortgage payment and get cash in your pocket. At Colony Mortgage, we have hometown service with competitive rates. We have years of experience with creative financing to find that right loan for you. If it's credit issues stopping you, let us help. We moved from our 20-year Atascadero location and now offer two convenient locations to meet personally in Atascadero and Paso Robles. Call 805-466-3598. Thank you for supporting your local businesses.
And we are back with Protecting What Matters. We're back with Randall Jordan from the San Luis Obispo Republican Party. He is the chair and kind of, all things. And you're also regional chair, right? Or
yeah, you know. Yeah, for the California GOP, I'm the regional vice chair. So I work with six counties, including our own.
All right. So you're probably not a very busy guy.
No. not much.
So what are your projections coming into this election?
I feel that, I'm not looking for a red wave, but I feel that we're going to sweep all of the important elections. I really do. I think especially here locally, I think our school boards and our city councils, we're looking in really, really good shape. I've been to some forums on both sides, and definitely our candidates are offering what the public wants, which is basically transparency and, for the parents to have a voice with their children. I mean, who wouldn't want to be able to voice, how they feel and how their school is being run? So I think we're going to see a very good turnout and a win, a big win.
Right. Yeah. And I've been, I think Atascadero, which I'm the chair for the Republican Party in District 5. I have really good feeling about the candidates, school board,
all
and
of them.
City council,
all of them.
I don't know if we'll sweep or not, but I think we can. I think we can sweep it all. Whether we will, maybe we drop a seat or maybe we don't, but I think we can pick up a seat in the school board and sweep. And I think city council, we can sweep.
Yeah. City council needs to, especially in Atascadero, they need to retain their saneness.
Right.
They've been a great city council, and I think they're going to continue to be. And in Paso, we'll see what happens there. I think we're ready for some change, and I think the voters are ready also.
Yeah, I hope they are. I hope people are paying attention in Paso, because I think what we've seen, we've seen kind of an old guard that forgot about the constituents, in my opinion. They kind of, business is business, and we'll do what we want.
Yeah,
and I think in the last 2 years, we've seen a lot of pushback in Paso, and I think people are ready for a change, but who knows?
Yeah.
It is always hard to get a constituent out. People recognize the name and they mark it off.
Exactly.
We've got
the gold standard, and we're very, very close. You and I are both very close to Debbie Arnold.
Right.
And Debbie is the gold standard for working for the people. Everything she does, she thinks, what would, she says, I think in my mind, I've got people standing behind me, and what would they want me to do? And that's the way that I vote, and that's the way that I give my opinions. And I think if every one of the city council members, every one of the school board members thought that way and weren't self-serving, I think that we would have exactly what we need in this county and in this state.
No, yeah, and unfortunately, what I've seen the last few years, not everywhere, but I've seen it around different cities, is kind of just like, we know, you saw it with the parking. No, we know what's better for you, you know, and that's, you never want to hear that from your, you know, I've never heard it from Debbie. We know what's better. You know, this is what you want, then I'm going to go get it. If I feel like my constituents want this, I don't even have to agree. But I think the majority want this, I'm going to go for it. And I think it's a little, you know, more in Paso, I've seen kind of like, we know what's better. Just let us do, be quiet and go sit down and let us fix this problem. And hopefully, at the very least, they get that idea at this point, like, hey, we better start looking back at our constituents, trying to do what they want.
And, exactly.
And that would be my hope at the very least. And, you know, change is always good. I think we've seen Paso's been, you know, there is an old guard. I don't think there's a lot of competition this year. I mean, not, you know, there's different people running, but a couple seats, there's, you know, going uncontested, et cetera.
Yeah, it would have been good. I really hated it when we went from at large, because I think that the entire city should be able to vote for all of the city council members instead of just different districts, because that makes it tough.
Because if
you can't find a good candidate out of that district, then, you know, you don't have a candidate.
No, exactly. And I think you saw that in, I'm trying to remember the Paso district.
Fred Strong's district.
Yes. And I think when you verge on maybe a city the size of San Luis Obispo, maybe districting makes sense. Maybe. And I don't even know. I think the one thing I look at San Luis Obispo is all the council people almost are neighbors to each other, and they're fighting districting because they're in the middle of a lawsuit. Paso just kind of folded. I would hate to see it in Atascadero because the city's just shaped so oddly. It's just this long, skinny stretch, and I think you would kill the pool, you know, especially. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. I've kind of thought about it, maybe bigger cities, but I think, you know, districting, maybe less districts, or I don't know how it would work, but I don't think a city the size of Paso, it's worth it.
I don't think it's needed. I really don't.
And I think, yeah, you get such a smaller pool, you know, you're trying to say, oh, we're giving disenfranchised communities. But I don't even see that in Paso anymore because, if you want to talk about disenfranchised communities, a lot of them are right next to richer communities, and they're all in the same district. So if you take, you know, we're sitting here in North Paso, all the hills right there in the same district, I believe, as the apartments downtown. So,
yes, exactly.
So you're not really making it, I think, any easier. And I think Paso, what I've seen over the years, especially in North County, is they don't really care who you are. If you're going to come in and you're going to do what you said, they don't care if you have the big house on the hill, if you're in the apartment downtown, they just don't care.
And no, I agree with you. Yeah,
definitely hurt Paso, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And I really hope it doesn't come to Atascadero because I think it would be detrimental. A lot of people live on the west side. I mean, it would be very detrimental to Atascadero. And I think I just don't see this county. I don't think it's necessary.
I think it was a mistake that they knuckled under to the lawsuits that they were threatening. So
what's coming up? You said there's election night event.
Yeah. Basically, we're going to have a watch party. And this time we're inviting, all of our conservative Republicans to join us, and that's going to happen on election day, and we'll start about maybe 6 or 7 o'clock in the
evening. Head on down to RPSLO in Atascadero. It'll be a good time, and everybody's welcome.
They are.
Thank you, sir. Any last words?
No, just get out and vote. I mean, that's it. We're not telling you how to vote. We just want you to get out and vote, because it is our God-given, and it's our right, and we need to exercise it.
All righty, sir. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.